Let's lock the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline down. Get rolling with our local view, courtesy of the Register Guard sports columnist. You know the drill. See what he's up to on the cover of the sports page. Give RegisterGuard.com a whirl. DuckSports.com on Twitter at Austin Meek RG. Austin Meek, welcome back. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing okay. I'm not sure what city I'm in, but I think I'm home, so that's nice.
So I was looking at your Twitter timeline, and I thought you were being sarcastic. So your tweet from yesterday's Duck Pod, you really took a train to and from San Jose?
Oh, I did. And, you know, the real kicker to that is, you know, when I booked it, I had planned to leave Sunday night thinking that the game would probably be in the afternoon. And then, of course, they had the 6:40 tip-off, so I was not able to make my train leaving Sunday night. So I actually just got home. I got home about an hour ago. It's not a short train ride on the old Coast Starlight up from San Jose. So, yeah, it's been a whirlwind of travel for sure.
Well, now I got to just run some numbers here because I've taken the train from here to Seattle, and that's a 4.5 hour trip. It's like double that. I mean, did you take like a 17-hour train ride?
Yeah, it was about 17 hours. It runs overnight. I left San Jose about 8:30 last night, and then we were a little bit behind schedule, so got into Eugene at about 2 o'clock.
Wow!
I've seen you know, it's a nice view. I saw a lot of scenery out the window of my train.
You didn't leave San Jose last night. You left in the 1940s.
I do kind of feel like one of those hobos walking around with my knapsack over my shoulder. Maybe that's my new lifestyle. Maybe I'm just going to ride trains around America.
Austin rides the rail. Stay tuned to his Twitter account for the latest updates. I want to get to the Cal Irvine coach, Russ Turner. I've been obsessing a little bit, but if it were a fellow player who called Lewis King Queen, you know, young guys need to grow up and learn, but a guy who's almost 50 years old, supposed to be aiding in the maturation and growth of young men, using, in essence, a fifth grade playground put down and then bragging about it. I mean, what was your reaction to that?
Well, I have never believed that it's appropriate for coaches to be talking trash to players during the course of the game.
Right.
And I'm not so naive as to think that, you know, there aren't things that get said in the course of a game that might make you blush if you saw them written down on paper. And some of that stuff I think maybe you can excuse as being said in the heat of the moment. But if you're a coach, there's just absolutely no excuse to be directing those types of comments towards a player. I thought it was odd that Russell Turner came out after the game, and, you know, I guess I'll give him credit for his honesty, but it was just strange that he admitted it so flippantly, really, what he was saying. It was clear that he did not grasp, you know, what the reaction to his comment would be. I mean, maybe that's a guy who, you know, doesn't really deal with the media, doesn't have a lot of reporters covering his program, so it was new for him to be in that situation, because I think a coach who had a lot of experience dealing with that spotlight probably would have kept that to himself, but he said it. It was out there. I'm sure at some point he saw the reaction to it and realized that he'd put his foot in his mouth. He ended up apologizing. I don't think it was a huge deal, but it certainly was inappropriate, and it didn't reflect very well on him.
So you were in the interview room. He made that comment. Was it as much of a case of, is this thing on because nobody reacted, as a lot of people wrote?
You know, I actually was not in the interview room when he said that. I was in the Oregon locker room at that time. I had noticed him talking to Lewis King in the handshake line. They had a long conversation, and, you know, Turner was kind of patting him on the shoulder and smiling. I mean, it appeared to be a cordial conversation. It was not like the Coach K Dylan Brooks lecture from a few years ago. But I noticed that, and I was in the Oregon locker room, and in fact, I almost asked Lewis King about it. I wish that I had. But I didn't. I figured it was nothing. And then I got back to the media workroom, and I saw the transcript of what Russell Turner had said, and realized, oh, this thing is going to become a little bit of a story. People are going to react to this. But I was not in there when he actually said that. I am curious what the reaction in the room was like.
Oh, wow. I'm talking with Austin Mika, the Register Guard. So let's go back to February 23rd. Oregon had just allowed 62 points in the second half, and we were thinking, well, maybe the NIT. So are we more surprised they're here, or is the manner more astonishing? The fact that they're not only here, but they've pretty much kicked everybody's rear end on the way here.
Well, I think they're both equally stunning to me, because watching this team all year, I never would have seen it coming. I don't think anybody would have seen it coming. And, you know, the impressive thing to me is just how little margin for error they've had. I wrote in the column off of Sunday's game that, you know, for them to get to the Sweet 16 was not just a matter of needing to win two games like everybody else. You know, they had to win six games in a row to get there. They had to win the four in the Pac-12 tournament just to get into the tournament, and then they had to beat Wisconsin and UC Irvine once they got there. You know, it hasn't. You know, it's not like they've just been playing a bunch of rummies either. You know, they had to beat four NCAA tournament teams in that set. So, you know, to go from where they were and to put together a stretch like that, I mean, gosh, how many times on this show this year have I said, let's just see them put together, you know, three or four good games in a row. Well, now they've put together 10. and it's, you know, and there's hardly been a close game in the bunch aside from that Arizona State game that went to overtime. It's just incredible. I don't know if I've ever seen a team go through a turnaround that dramatic.
No. Well, there haven't been many. I think maybe UConn several years back where they looked dead, then won it. So,
yeah.
You know, in a tournament like this, while we follow one team, certain guys get introduced nationally. Kenny Wooten's one of them. And he's unique to evaluate, Austin, because I don't think the stat sheet tells the story all the time, but you can see opponents who go into the paint are very tentative. From your observations and who you've spoken with, I mean, how intimidating or impactful has he become?
Well, you know, there are a lot of advanced metrics now that we can use to dissect the game of basketball, efficiency ratings and you know, all of those things, formulas that you can use to basically quantify everything in basketball. But the one thing that we can't really quantify yet is just how it affects a game when you have a guy who makes the plays like Kenny Wooten makes, whether that's, you know, an alley-oop dunk or a block that goes into the second row. I think we all understand from watching basketball, those plays are worth more than just 2 points on the scoreboard. You know, those plays change momentum. And I thought, you know, really in both games, especially the Wisconsin game, but also in the second half of the UC Irvine game, Kenny Wooten just, you know, the plays he made were so impactful that it, you know, he affected the game way beyond whatever the box score would say. You know, the box score would say he had 9 points and four blocks, or he had 7 blocks against UC Irvine, but every one of those plays is a play that, you know, is demoralizing to the other team and is giving a, you know, a big shot of momentum to the Ducks. So Kenny Wooten is just, you know, he is, you know, the guy on Oregon's team that you just have no answer for. You know, neither of those two teams had anybody that could do what Kenny Wooten does, because there just aren't many guys like him in this tournament.
No, that's true. He's unique. Another guy whose name I'm hearing a lot is Peyton Pritchard, ESPN, CBS. You know, he was an important role player 2 years ago. Out of sorts at times this year. Now he's like, well, we're not losing anymore. We talk about transformations. How remarkable has it to witness, to see the on switch he's found, and I guess this leadership he's putting on display?
Yeah, you know, I think the two things go hand in hand, the turnaround of the team and the turnaround of Peyton Pritchard, because up to that point you mentioned February 23rd or whatever the date was, Oregon had been a disappointing team, and frankly, Peyton Pritchard was having a disappointing season. Statistically, he basically took a step back in every category from what he was as a sophomore. But man, over this last 10 games, he's just been phenomenal. And I talked to him a little bit in the locker room last week about what it was that ignited that spark for him. And it's interesting, he made some pretty significant changes. He got back from that road trip to L.A. and said, I'm going to change my diet a little bit.
Huh.
He changed his pregame routine in terms of the shots he takes and how he warms up. He's trying to get more sleep. He had a whole bunch of things that he made a commitment that he was going to do this right after that UCLA game. And coincidentally or not, that's when everything turned for him and when everything turned for Oregon. So some of that stuff's a little bit of superstition. It starts to work, so you're not going to mess with it. And I think that's where he is right now is, whatever it is that's working for him, he's just going to keep doing it because he's really on a roll right now.
Yeah, patent pending. Talking hoops with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. So I asked a lot of questions leading up in last week's first couple of rounds. We know Virginia's not unbeatable. Purdue and Tennessee historically don't do well right here. So have we officially reached, why not? Clearly Oregon is never going to lose again. I mean, is there any reason to pick against them right now?
Well, put it this way, the odds of winning a game against Virginia are, to me, infinitely better than the odds of doing what they've already done. They've already done the hard part. stringing off 10 in a row, that's really hard. Beating Virginia, maybe it'll be an upset, but it's certainly not impossible, not after what we've seen them do over the last few weeks. So I'm firmly in the camp of nothing they do now is going to surprise me. I do think Virginia is a different animal than the teams that they have faced so far. In a way, Virginia might just be a better version of Wisconsin, but a much better version, a number one seed caliber team, but still a team that certainly has had its struggles in the tournament, a team that's gotten to this point before, and has lost to teams that they're not supposed to lose to. So I would absolutely not be shocked by anything that Oregon does from this point forward.
All right, a couple final thoughts with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. The women's team, we've been talking about them. They had a little glitch with injuries, but Ruthie Hebert looked much more healthy. We know they won't have Taylor Chavez, but Morgan Yeager's played great. They won both their games comfortably. They get to go to Portland. I'm looking at this. Is there a reason to overthink this? And they simply remain in a tremendous position to check that box and make the first ever Final Four.
Yeah, it's kind of like their whole season has been building up to this. It just, it sort of felt like destiny that it was going to come down to these two games in Portland to determine whether this goes down as a very good season or a great historic season. I mean, no matter what happens in Portland, they've had a great season.
Yeah.
To follow up and win the Pac-12 again, the season that Sabrina Ionescu has had, those things will endure no matter what happens this weekend. But still, when you looked, starting from day one of this season and said, how's it going to end? You basically said, they're probably going to be in Portland and it's going to come down to, one shot to get to the Final Four. And here they are. A little bit of a surprise, I guess, that they have South Dakota State instead of Syracuse, but another team that they saw during the regular season, a team that they beat on the road to give them some confidence. It's set up just kind of like we thought it would, and now it's just a matter of going out there and doing it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun up there. Lastly, in a little less than 48 hours, MLB season begins. I know there's a lot of really good storylines. All the big dollar guys, who's relocated, Harper or Machado, are the Red Sox going to repeat for the first time since 2000? Your Royals, you're a big baseball fan. What are some of the stories you're looking forward to, I guess, as we approach opening?
I like that you included my Royals in that list of topics because that was charitable on your part, because I don't think anybody anywhere else is thinking about the big stories of the baseball season and putting the Royals in there.
Well, I was thinking of you.
well, yeah, I appreciate that, because for me, this time of year, especially with the season coming a little bit earlier this year, man, I have not really had a lot of time to dig into it. I'm sort of in March Madness mode. So I'm hoping that by the time I get around to baseball, the Royals are still in it. I'm worried that they won't be. Sal Perez, their all-star catcher, is out for the season. They weren't going to have a very good team anyway. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm glad to have baseball back, but I'm not counting on the Royals to do a lot for me this year.
Yeah, 2014 and 15 are getting longer and longer in the rear view for you. So are you Portland bound for this coming weekend?
Yeah, Steve, that's good news. It's a short trip to Portland. I think I can drive this one. So I am going. I'm going to Portland. Going to be there for the women's games. Really excited about it. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. And of course, we'll be glued to the TV Thursday night to see what the Duck men do.
No, I'm with you there, and I will actually see you at Moda. So, welcome back to town and your train ride from the past. And always appreciate your time, Austin. And we'll talk in person on Friday.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks, Steve.
All right, take it easy.